Hello and welcome. This is Ken Ortiz, and this is my regular podcast called What the World's Coming To. And today's topic is the World Health Organization and all things related to it. Previously, or I'd say probably 5-10 years ago, few people even knew anything about the World Health Organization. They didn't understand it was an entity within the United Nations. It was pretty innocuous, pretty powerless, basically concerned itself with health education and not with trying to coordinate treatment of disease. But it was probably 5-10 years ago as well that many people began to look to the World Health Organization as a means of exerting more control over the environments within nations. It may have grown out of a very sincere concern to bring an end to plagues and pandemics. I mean, whether it be the swine flu or the things of that nature that they were afraid would leapfrog around the world as they have in past centuries and kill millions of billions of people, they began to have these discussions of if there's a way of creating a vaccine that could end all pandemics. Basically, something has to begin as an outbreak, and then it becomes an epidemic because it's basically everywhere within a given region. And a pandemic means that it now has traveled around the world. So pandemics are extremely rare and unusual. In fact, the last real pandemic we had was over 100 years ago with the swine flu epidemic. It's believed that some, 62 million people around the world died because of it. My own paternal grandfather died from it while he was a medical doctor in France during World War I in 1918. My maternal grandfather, worked at Fort Riley, Kansas, treating patients with it. He was a medic, and he had many young men die in his arms from the swine flu. It was really, really terrible. Really attacked, for the most part, people around 18, 20, 21 years of age, and it killed very, very quickly. I mean, most people might come home from work feeling a little bit ill, and the next morning they'd be found dead in their beds. So it was a pretty scary thing. It's interesting that afterwards, during the pandemic of 1918, they required people to stay in their houses and also to wear face coverings. And it was afterwards in 1919 when they studied the efficacy of wearing face masks, they concluded that they weren't really effective. Somehow that knowledge and experience had been lost, and they have been reintroduced in the last exaggerated pandemic. In fact, I quite honestly would not call it truly a pandemic. I think in many cases we are beginning to see the evidence that the treatment of the disease was worse than the disease itself. It probably would not have lasted as long if we hadn't have tried to intervene in the ways we did. I mean, it was found really fairly early on that having people lock down, stay inside, and all the rest only further to spread the virus. It didn't end it. Now, I want to be clear that I'm not saying that that COVID-19 wasn't a serious illness. I had it. I became very ill. My wife became very ill. We survived it because our doctor helped us to treat it, especially with ivermectin, hydrochloroquine, and a whole host of other supplements that I think that made a huge difference. But having said all of that, I don't want to pretend like it didn't take people's lives and it wasn't dangerous, but it was really most threatening to people in my age group, actually, and particularly that they found that something like 80 to 90% of the people who died from the COVID-19 had a comorbidity. In other words, they had diabetes, they had cancer, they had heart disease. There was something else that was triggered that really ultimately became the cause of death. Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time because if you're curious about the veracity and the manner in which it was held, I think that you can search that stuff out on your own. And not with that much difficulty now that a lot of the truth is beginning to come out. A lot of scientific journals are now beginning to reverse direction on it and begin to criticize. Now that the harm is done and I think the desired goals had been established. I really think that, it was that crisis that you don't want to let to go to waste. And that's why it's so interesting to me as I begin to see certain headlines popping up about monkeypox. One of them said, Biden sounds the alarm on monkeypox. He's warning about this new potential pandemic that's going to strike out, and which is kind of crazy because monkeypox, you might ask, what in the world is that? It's basically, rarely is it lethal. It doesn't really kill many people. It's been in West Africa for a long time, and it's a lot like AIDS in the sense that it's transmitted through sexual contact, mainly through homosexuals having multiple sexual encounters, and they haven't even really proven or demonstrated or decided that it actually can be passed from person to person. I mean, it's not like a virus that is you breathe on somebody. It's more of a bacterial infection. But nonetheless, it was amazing how they seized on that. And I think that was followed by another article I found that said Bill Gates' proposal for a global surveillance pact with the World Health Organization to spot pandemic threats. Because as another article said, that Bill Gates predicts that the next pandemic will be caused by climate change and proposes an expansion of the World Health Organization. Now, what I find interesting in all of this is that, first of all, that who made Bill Gates an epidemiologist or epidemic authority? It's kind of amazing to me how he's often interviewed on CNN, MSNBC, and the like, as if he's some kind of authority. But the guy is maybe a tech whiz. He may be good at writing code and such and selling it to people for ridiculous amounts of money. But the whole point is he's not qualified. That's why I wonder, why is he the spokesman? You see, there seems to be kind of a thinking in much of the U.S. culture and in other places as well, that if you're wealthy enough, if you're a billionaire, you become an authority on whatever you speak about. And yet one of the things I found is most of these people are wildly wrong on all sorts of things that they claim to foresee and predict. So I think being really wealthy may be a luck of the draw, it may be a gift of the devil, but in the end of the day, it doesn't make you an authority on anything. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what does Bill Gates have to do? Why are we listening to him as he proposes this great expansion of the World Health Organization? Now, we might sit back and say, well, where's the CDC or the FDA on these particular issues? And it's really interesting because, as we've seen, I think, in the most recent Sussman trial, that justice is dead in America. I mean, the justice system has been so co-opted by political entities and is so corrupt in its rulings that you can hardly trust anymore. I think that there's anything we find that the result of breaking laws, if you're in the right group of people, if you're a progressive liberal, your chances of being tried and convicted are almost nil. And so even though there was a clear case against Sussman for lying to the FBI and a number of other things and promoting the Steele dossier and the Trump Russiagate accusations, which were all proved and shown in court to be fraudulent and manufactured. Nonetheless, there is no consequences to Sussman, and certainly, therefore, it really cuts off the doors of really getting other players convicted and involved of their ne'er-do-well things. And I think that what we understand that the CDC, I think quite obviously, especially under Walensky, and the FDA have also been pretty much politicized and co-opted. I mean, Project Veritas had a video recently where they did an interview or showed an interview of FDA Executive Officer Christopher Cole, and he made some really amazing statements about the FDA and COVID. He says, the plan of the FDA says that you'll have to get an annual COVID vaccine. In other words, just as people get flu vaccines, they'll begin to blend this together with COVID. That's why, even though I've had flu vaccines in the past, I'm not planning on getting one in the future because I'm not confident that they will tell me the truth. And I'm very concerned about the long-term effects of mRNA being injected into your system. But he goes on to say, I mean, it hasn't been formally announced yet because they don't want to, like, rile everyone up. So what they're talking about is an overt effort to control the information, which is interesting because I'll talk about that in a moment. But he goes on to say that Biden wants to inoculate as many people as possible so that even though we know that the Omicron and other variants aren't affected or are not treated by the COVID vaccine, they're still pushing it. I see television ads even pushing it upon young people. I thought what was most interesting was listening to one lady on the radio. She was saying, well, I had Omicron variant, and it wasn't very bad, thankfully, because I had gotten the COVID-19 vaccination. I think that's why I didn't get really sick. And which is really kind of twisted and wrong, because most people, very few people, get very sick from the Omicron variant and the other variants that have followed after it. But also, we know that the COVID vaccine has no effect. It doesn't touch it at all. I mean, it has no properties for addressing the variants that are coming out now. So basically, it's false propaganda being funded by the federal government and in our state by our state government. But he goes on to say, Christopher Cole goes on to say, they're not going to approve for emergency use or authorization for children 5 years or old or less, but they're not going to do it either. In other words, he said, we're not going to have children under five get the vaccination because there's absolutely no evidence to show that it's good, and possibly a lot of evidence that shows that it's unhealthy. But nonetheless, he said they're going to find out a way, and they've already asked that they could begin to give it to children under 5 years of age. That just came out in the news the other day. But he goes on to say about the incentive, and he talks about the pharmaceutical companies. And this is something that has been understood for a long time, that the pharmaceutical companies, and the FDA and the CDC have kind of been in bed with each other. I mean, you go from one to the other. A lot of people can move from the FDA and CDC into private industry and make good money working with the pharmaceutical companies, who use the network of relationships to help get a foot in the door to promoting various drugs. And he admitted as such. He said there's a money incentive for Pfizer and drug companies to promote additional vaccines. It'll be a recurring fountain of revenue. It might not be that much initially, but it will be recurring. And if they can get every person required at an annual vaccine, that is a recurring return of money going into their company. So right now, there's just a real subtle push going on to try to scare us all in to get the vaccine, even if we have natural immunities and don't know it. And it's not, you know, scientific. It's actually counter-scientific. Well, as I listened to that, I thought about some other things that have come up where Bill Gates talks about the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization, at the very beginning of the COVID epidemic, talked about the danger of an infodemic. And basically, they were saying that the narrative that was going around about the virus, its deadliness, and how to prepare or treat it was of critical importance, and it needed information to be controlled. That they went on to say that government and social networks and scientists and even the news media around the world needed to cooperate with all of the directives coming from the World Health Organization and its stakeholders as the central authorities of information. Now, here's interesting. When you're talking about stakeholders of the WHO, what is a stakeholder? It's basically somebody who has a vested interest in what the World Health Organization does. Now, it became very clear at the end of Trump's administration that the World Health Organization had a very powerful stakeholder in the Chinese government. In fact, it's the Chinese who first developed the idea of lockdowns, and even now are continuing those lockdowns, and those lockdowns have nothing to do with the spread of COVID. They have everything to do with the suppression of opposition to the Communist Party. The Communist Party is losing members in huge numbers. The Chinese people are awakening and finding the courage that basically saying this government is an oppressive, dictatorial, evil thing. And so they're beginning to resist. Well, the way you stop that is you lock everything down and you basically starve and torture people into submission. We have to understand that the Chinese government has been involved in genocides from its very beginning, from starving the population with great famines to the Tiananmen Square, where we know that over 10,000 Chinese were killed, and it's rarely, if ever, been reported. I mean, literally, people are machine gunned or rolled over by tanks, and a lot of that never made it into the news media in the West. But basically, they're also the ones who have set the tempo in the beginning with the COVID virus. They not only lied about its origins and hid it from people, but then exported it around the world by keeping their airports open to flying to different places. It's not surprising that when the U.S. closed its border to Chinese airplanes, that they many Chinese decided they would tour in Italy. And guess where the next major outbreak of COVID came? It was in Italy, which spread through Europe and so forth. But basically, what they said in a joint statement back in 2022, it was with the WHO and the United Nations, that they said an infodemic is an overabundance of information, both online and offline. And basically, they're saying the information costs lives. Well, I would, it's one of the most incredible statements, an overabundance of information. In other words, we need to control what information is put forth, and that seems to be in place even to the present. I mean, when you look at almost every news and media outlet we have, they pretty much walk in lockstep, even though it's been revealed that they are not necessarily truth tellers. In fact, it was interesting to me the day as I was doing my daily devotional, and I was reading in the book of Deuteronomy, and it was talking about God's judgment, or how that Israel should deal with what they called a false witness. And basically, they said that everything should be decided by evidence. There had to be two or three witnesses. Then it talked about if there's a malicious witness, someone who purposely says something that's not true. And it goes on in chapter 19, verse 18 of Deuteronomy, it says, "The judges shall investigate thoroughly, and if the witness is a false witness, and he has accused his brother falsely, then they shall do to him just as he intended to do to his brother. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you." So, in other words, what the scripture says is finding the truth about anything is essential, because if you don't, if you allow lies to perpetuate, evil will proliferate. And I think that's really what we're seeing happening right now, because I don't have time to go into a lot of detail. I'll try to get to that in a future broadcast. But one of the things we do see is that there is a proliferation of lies. I think even, at least here in America, we have a Pride Month, Gay Pride Month. Well, it's LGBTQIA plus Pride Month. And most people don't even understand that. In fact, the LGBTQAI plus group has adopted the colors of the Ukrainian flag as well. And I mean, it's like looks like a tie-dye T-shirt. But it's craziness, because basically you find all of these corporations, entities are advertising Pride. I went into a department store to buy some tennis shoes for one of my grandsons, and amazingly, they had a big sign right at the door that this is Pride Month. My wife went to the get her hair done, and there's a big banner hanging there. It's really kind of crazy, and you begin to realize it's everywhere. Everybody's buying into the lie that homosexuality and transgender identity stuff is some kind of realistic thing that we should take pay attention to. It's just occurred to me the other day that the use of the rainbow to identify with this LGBTQIA plus whatever is kind of a crime of misappropriation of culture, because the rainbow is a symbol, a biblical symbol. It's a sign of God's judgment and his redemption and his hopeful promise that he would not destroy the earth again by a flood. He will destroy it with fire in the end, but he will not destroy it with a flood. And they've appropriated that and turned it into a symbol of something that God calls an abomination and promises that judgment will be applied to those who practice these things. Well, all of that I say is we find that they've really controlled information so that they can put out only what's approved by their misinformation. And I would even, let me go out on a limb here and take a chance of offending you. I would just caution all of you, even when it talks about the conflicts between Russia and Ukraine, that this is part of the information thing that, as President Biden blames Vladimir Putin, who is, I don't believe, is a good guy, but aside from all of that, he blames him for every problem in America. Well, the problem is those problems are the result of his policies. And his policies aren't accidental. His policies were intentional. What they're doing is intentional. They want to end fossil fuel. They want to do, they want to basically get rid of the Constitution. They want to take our guns away from us so that we can no longer resist, like what's happened in other countries like New Zealand and Australia and now most recently with Canada. And that's really something they're quite concerned with, because there's 300 million guns in America, and many of them have 30 a clip that can hold 30 cartridges. So, these are prolific weapons, and I understand why they want to get with them. And again, the claim that the Second Amendment didn't guarantee you the right to buy a cannon, actually it did. It was only in 1934 when the U.S. passed a law limiting automatic weapons, but there's still no law against buying a cannon. So a lot of this is, like I say, we're talking about misinformation. It's all designed to get you to focus on the wrong thing. It's the wizard behind the curtain who says, paying no attention to that guy who's pulling all the levers. That's essentially what we're dealing with in our situation right now. But that's why I think that the World Council for Health has basically accused the World Health Organization of using non-scientific speculation. And I think many of us, if we paid close attention and you've read enough articles and you dug out the information, you know that there has been a disinformation campaign from the very beginning. But say all of that, what's going to be the next big step in this process? Well, on the backs of COVID-19, the World Health Organization is proposing to the United Nations and to its 194 member nations a new pandemic treaty. Now, this is a first. I mean, there's never done anything like this, a new pandemic treaty, and they want it to be passed by the United Nations, all 194 nations in the General Assembly, by the year 2024. That's in two more years. And basically, it's caused a lot of concern because it poses a direct threat to national sovereignty. That basically, instead of letting a nation make its own decisions and its own citizens make a decision, it will erode basically that opportunity, that ability. And let me put this also in there. I think that when I try to figure out why there's so much vitriol against Putin, and suddenly Ukraine, who we couldn't trust, now becomes the most noble nation in the world. And I don't want to take anything away from the what's going on or the conflict or try to get in the middle of that, because I don't think we'll find out the truth about anything in that regard for quite some time. But what really kills me is when we got, basically some of the leaders of our nation calling for the complete destruction. Our Secretary of Defense wants to see a complete destruction of the Russian government, the end of Russia. I often wonder if part of that concern is that they are a fly in the apothecary's ointment. And again, I'm not portraying Putin and his gang as good people. I think they're pretty bad people, and Putin has killed a lot of people. And I think he's guilty of genocide and all of that kind of stuff. I don't doubt that any of those reports are true. But what I do think is part of the emphasis, the focus that's put upon it, is trying to basically get people to eliminate somebody who is standing in the way of the world, the Build Back Better, Great Reset agenda. Aside from all of Putin's faults, he was an opponent of that, because it's not because he's a good guy. He just doesn't want anybody interfering with his power. He wants to be in control of everybody and everything. And so, the whole World Economic Forum, United Nations agenda is really something that gets in his way. And it's also, he gets in their way because of his control over natural resources, not limited to oil, but a number of other things. And so these people, I think, have a deeper motive. I don't think they're concerned about the health, welfare, or the democracy of the Ukraine. I think they're simply thinking about their own agenda. But basically, what the World Health Organization is proposing is that in order to prevent another pandemic, which, by the way, I think is absolutely impossible. Pandemics, viruses travel easily and quickly in every direction, and to stop a pandemic is pretty close to impossible. But they want to create a pandemic treaty that applies to the whole world. It's basically, they can declare medical martial law. And basically they're saying the United States would need to give up its natural sovereignty under this plan, including all civil and health rights. And they want every other country that's part of the United Nations to be expected to do the same thing, if they have not already. I think there are some countries that have. I think Canada has. I think that Australia has. I think that New Zealand has. And many European countries as well, very possibly Germany and even the UK. But as one writer put it, he says, this was all the more egregious as pertains to the widespread push for mandatory vaccination, Given that mRNA technology used in the COVID jabs are highly experimental, having never been tested in human clinical trials or for safety or for effectiveness, their coerced and mandated use therefore violate informed consent, given that evidence-based risk-benefit information based on long-term safety trials are not yet available. I mean, most people don't realize that most vaccines take somewhere between 7 to 10 years to be tested for their efficacy and safety. And here we had 8 to 10 months, never been done before. And I think we're seeing that in unusual rise in deaths around the world, especially for age groups that are particularly, it's really not nearly as high, something like a 40% increase in the 18 to 64 year age group. We're finding the rise of unusual cancers, and particularly glastomas or brain cancers. The rate is very quickly. We're finding all sorts of people who are getting cancers, and they are succumbing to them very quickly. There's also a number of articles that I've been tracing and following, coming upon of young athletes, people who are in the prime, top health, and suddenly they're found dead in their beds or just dropping over. And, they can't find any real good reason. Well, I think part of the right reason is because I think that RNA vaccination from the COVID-19 vaccination suppresses your immune system in order to get access into your cells. And in doing that, they open up the body to all sorts of other evil agencies that can kill us. And that's why I think that their dystopic document that they issued called The World Together, they see it to be implemented under Article 19 of the World Health Organization Constitution. And what they are talking about is creating a World Health Authority that has the ability to evaluate the competence of nations and organizations to deal with a pandemic. And essentially, if they can get two-thirds of the world's nations to agree to this, they will be able to decide on their own, within their own bureaucracy of the World Health Organization, whether or not they need to invade a country to help stop a pandemic. Now, this is kind of amazing, again, because it really will create a new global health world order that will be run by this agency, the World Health Organization. In many ways, the World Health Organization will become more powerful than any government, and certainly more powerful than the United Nations. And I think that the thing that's, I think, significant in all of this, really, and maybe I'll try to land on this last point, is that, I mean, it's very clear the Bible talks about in the end days will come one world government. It's going to come in one world economy, one world religion. But I never expected that it would come in through the back door, through what seemed to be such an innocuous organization as the World Health Organization. And so we see this in an effort to try to elevate the monkeypox infection, where we got 200 people in the United States, 700 people around the world. Well, most of those are in West Africa, and it's just beginning to pop up, and it's with a very limited, specific community. But what they're talking about is creating a biosecurity state within the World Organization, and basically it's going to be able to declare an emergency anywhere they want in the world, and basically it will be governed and controlled by the bureaucracy. Now, if you think this is unthinkable, let's step back and look what the CDC and the FDA did in our country, and where the National Institutes of Health and Dr. Fauci and Francis Collins and the rest of them, they actually took over. So, you know, when it was presented in court that the CDC was saying that we had to continue to wear masks on airplanes, although it was not warranted, a federal judge basically said they don't have the right. It's not within their auspices to do this. So now we have the Justice Department filing a countersuit against that ruling to try to get it overturned. And as Dr. Fauci admitted, it's not about the science, it's not about COVID, it's about authority. It's about who has the authority to make these decisions. Well, Fauci and his crew never had the authority to lock down the country and do the kind of things that they did, to mandate things and mandate masks and all this stuff. They did it, and nobody pushed back. It's because of the complicity of our governing class, which I think for the most part is pretty much compromised, if not completely co-opted. And so as a result, they were able to do something that should have been illegal. Most people don't even realize it, even here in the state of Washington, that our governor is still operating under emergency powers. And he's been forced to pull down back because people, for the most part, have said, we've had enough. We're not doing this anymore. But I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for the next declaration, the next so-called emergency that's required us to give up everything and submit ourselves to the overriding power of the government. The simple fact is that there have been pandemics. Jesus said there will be famines, there will be pestilences, there will be pandemics. He said that they're going to be throughout human history. And he said, and there's some coming that are going to be pretty gnarly. But the idea that somehow these agencies will be able to tinker with them by controlling mankind is not really honest. It's not really representative, even as we know today that the original model that said 2 million Americans would die if they didn't lock down the country was completely false. It was created by a guy who used a faulty program that he's been using for years that has been outdated and doesn't give accurate results. And he's used in the past, and he's been horribly wrong in the past. And yet somehow Donald Trump was convinced by Fauci and Birx and Collins and others that they needed to listen to this advice. And it's brought us to where we are today. Right now, when you try to figure out what's going on in our country and in the America, I would just simply say, here's the bottom line. We have a highly progressive neo-Marxist administration that wants to end the Constitution and replace it with a new system of governance. They are true believers in globalism. They think that they are, it's like a religious faith. If you read my most recent newsletter, I go into this somewhat at KenOrtiz.com, where they really are true believers. It's like a religious faith for them. But what's happened is that they've implemented these policies within the United States. They're so foolish and so unworkable that it's created a ripple effect of crisis. So we have crisis at the border. We have crisis with the economy. We have inflation. We have, I mean, on every level, we have an outbreak of crime. All of this was designed, and yet now people are reacting to it and are really threatening to vote these guys, the criminals, out of office. Yet the fact is that they're trying to divert us to every other thing, whether it be the Putin inflation, or it's, I'm surprised they haven't called it the Putin plague, using this monkeypox or any other thing that they can come up with. So you have guys like George Soros and Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and the whole crew of them who are behind all of these, funding these kind of things, the Zuckerbergs and all the rest, because they really believe that they need to save the world and that you and I are too stupid to take care of our own self, so we need to be forced into a collective security state. And they'll use medicine to terrify people into wearing masks and staying home and giving up their civil rights in order to help to facilitate their goal. And that's what I think about that. So, God bless you. I hope this was informative.